Welcome back to lesson four. And in this lesson, we're going to be talking about implementing spiritual methods to create abundance easily. I know that that might sound contradictory to some people. And one of the things that we are taught growing up is that to want or to have materialistic things and money is selfish. And a lot of people think, I can't be spiritual and wealthy at the same time, and that those two things don't go hand in hand. Because we are taught that to have a connection with God, spirit, higher power, that we are to be selfless people, to give everything away, and to want nothing. And I read this really great book. It's about climbing the mountains of your life. And the thing about what I've come to realize is that in our lifetimes, we will climb several mountains. And the first mountain that we climb is this mountain that we're gearing towards success. And as we're climbing this mountain, we are very caught up with getting an education, A's and B's, and being successful, and Fortune 500, and owning a company, and running a business. And it's this grind. And we feel like when we get to the top of that mountain, we've graduated everything with honors, we have all this money in our bank account, we're running this Fortune 500 company, we're very successful, whatever success looks like to us in our minds, everyone will have a different version of that. We're very successful. So you could have the farmer who sees success, you know, he's a 19-year-old boy, he wants to follow in his father's footsteps, and he sees success as being able to triple his cattle and buy more land and have all the tractors and equipment that he wants. And then you can see the other 19-year-old who wants to be a lawyer, and he sees success as being entered into Harvard school and graduating with honors and, you know, having his own firm, and whatever success means, that is the first mountain. And as we're climbing that mountain, we feel like when we get there, when we get to the top of this mountain, that when we achieve that success, that is the ultimate of happiness. And we'll just take a deep breath and we'll look around and we'll just feel completely fulfilled and happy and always. Not true. In fact, there'll be a second mountain. Because when you get to the first mountain of your life and you realize that this isn't actually happiness, there was happy moments along the journey. Don't get me wrong. There were some good times in Harvard, and there were some great times at auctions picking out cattle, and there was wonderful times with his father farming the land. But if you think that when you get to the top of that mountain and you look around, that it's just going to be completion and perfection, that's not true. And you'll get there and you'll realize, and many of you listening to this will realize, happiness didn't come by what was in your bank account. Though you can feel more content and comfortable with what's in your bank account, ultimately it will not be the ultimate happiness. So there'll always be a second mountain. And the second mountain that you climb will be, what truly makes me happy? Where do I truly feel fulfilled? Or what can I have or do or be in my life to truly feel fulfilled? And the second mountain is often when we begin working for charities. It's often when we begin really trying to find our life purpose. It's when we begin understanding that happiness is not how many pairs of jeans I own, or what purse I'm able to buy, or what car that I drive. So those things become less and less important. And you start to see, as you come into senior citizens' homes, they will remove the things that don't bring them joy. And that doesn't mean that they might not have a collection of porcelain dolls or teacups. If it brings them joy, they'll have it around them. If it does not bring them joy, they will not. They will become more minimalistic in their lifestyle. And often, as we move forward, we begin to release things that don't bring reminders, or don't have a special meaning, or don't create love. And everything at the end of the day that you're designed in your human makeup is about love. Giving love, receiving love, all of that is connected. And abundance is love. Abundance and creating abundance in your life, and abundance with family, and abundance with money, and abundance with your bank account, or an abundance with your creations that you make in life, whether those be crafts that you're doing or animals that you're loving. Instead of wanting, we become And we move into a mindset in the second mountain that we become helpers and we become givers. We're not fools. We understand, obviously, that we still need to eat and that you still need to have money in your bank account, and that that money and that abundance creates content and creates comfortability. I'm not any more happy sitting in a $5,000 chair than I am sitting in a $5 chair. But the $5,000 chair might make me feel more comfortable. And there is nothing in the world wrong with saying that in my lifetime, I'd like to be surrounded with $5,000 chairs and I'd like to be more comfortable. And I'd like to buy other people $5,000 chairs. And I would like to give and heal and help as many people as I can. Because some people aren't sitting in $5,000 chairs. They're just worrying about if they can get water to drink today. And that will be your second mountain. Your mindset can radically affect the course of your life. We know that because research has shown that. Even if you don't want to look at that as a spiritual sort of mediumship, psychic kind of way, if you want to look at it in a scientific way, even science shows us that the world around you can drastically change the way you learn, how you handle stress, how you create success, your resiliency, and even how your immune system functions. What is around you is what you will be. There's another great book written by Stephen Covey. It's The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And he defined the term simply as a concept in which a person believes there are enough resources and success to share with others. He contrasts it with scarcity mindset, which is destructive and unnecessary competition, which is founded on the idea that if someone else wins or is successful in a situation, that means you lose, not considering the possibility of all parties winning in some way or another in a given situation. That is the difference between the first mountain and the second mountain. So fostering and bringing abundance mindset really has to come from living in an unlimited, full, and satisfying life. It starts with being grateful with what's around you. You begin to exude happiness, which is why I tell the mediums and the people that I teach, you have to go on a spiritual journey at the same time as you go on a mediumship journey. You can't just learn how to be a psychic and then not have goodness in your heart. You have to do the same thing when it comes to creating abundance in your life. You have to give and receive affections and items of high value with ease. You have to be willing to give something to someone and not ask what you can get for it in return. You have to have balance, because one of my biggest downfalls as in the beginning of my career and starting off as a medium is that I just would have given everything away. And my ego was so little at the time. It was, you get a car and you get a car. And there obviously has to be balance in that, because you can get not only taken advantage of, but you can be unappreciated and you can unappreciate yourself as well. You have to feel plentiful and creative and inspired. And you have to be willing to take advantage and enjoy new opportunities. You have to have a faith. It doesn't need to be the same faith as me. You do not need to believe in spirit or higher power. But whatever you do believe in, you must feel secure and confident in your life to create successful outcomes. You have to change your point of view. You have to look at yourself as being in the driver's seat, being alert, breathing deeply and feeling empowered by your life. Recognizing your thoughts and cultivating thoughts that come from an abundance mindset, and catching them when they're not, and questioning them when they're not. You would question a friend. If a friend walked up to you and said, we're all going to be broke, you would say, how do you know that? If a friend walked up to you and said, you're never going to find love, you're never going to be happy, you would say, what? How do you know that? Why would you say that? Well, question those thoughts when they come up. If you're finding that you're getting less than abundance in your life, in any area of your life, ask yourself, are my thoughts about this based in fear and scarcity? And then what do I need to do to shift my mindset to abundance? And then write them down. And then share them with someone so that you'll be accountable for them if you are saying things. Practice gratitude. Coming from a spiritual mindset, everything is about gratitude. being so overly grateful for where you are, for being and feeling so loved and just wrapped in love and wrapped in abundance. If you look at what you have in life, you will always have more. If you look at what you don't have in life, you will never have enough. When you're grateful, fear disappears and abundance appears. Gratitude. So much gratitude. Writing at least 10, 20 things down every day, or just listing them out in your mind, saying them in your prayers. A lot of people have prayers spiritually because they want to ask God, please God, help me. Please God, get me out of this situation. How about thank you, God, spirit, higher power, for everything you've given me. Thank you for this body. Thank you for this life. Thank you for so much. And let that gratitude invoke love and let that love stream out into the universe. The enemy of abundance is a contracted awareness. In other words, a Harvard study that found that when people focus intently on one particular thing, other possibilities right in front of them go completely unnoticed. It is vital for you to loosen your mind's focus and create an expanded awareness. That's what's going to foster abundance. I'll tell you a story. When I first began sort of on my journey as a psychic and a medium, I really didn't think that I was, you know, going to be giving readings as much as I was going to open up a store. And I had this idea in my mind of what it was going to look like, and it was going to be on my property and people were going to want to come there. And I just had this in my head. This is what it was going to be. This is how it was going to work. And every time I would go and ask the pendulum would say no, would say nope. And I would get so mad and I would think, what do you mean no? And that's how I truly came to understand that pendulums really work, because when they don't say what you want them to say, you know there's an issue. Anyway, I was so intent on that. In fact, I opened up the store in a room in my home, and the students that were coming for development classes and things, they were shopping in there, and I was just hell-bent on that was the way it was going to be. And in truth, it wasn't. I ended up moving from that home into this acreage. I ended up going down the journey or to this ranch and purchasing horses and taking a different path and filming a TV show. And Spirit had other plans for me, bigger plans for me. And Spirit still does have big plans and directions and changes and shifts. But if you soften your focus and you're not so intent on how you think it to be, I always think Spirit can have the biggest plan for us of all. And if we trust that plan, and that doesn't mean to not have any plans or direction or goals in your life. It just means be open to the manifestation being even bigger than that, being even bigger. So picking your thoughts is very important, but also picking your words. The language that you use, as well as what you tell yourself and others, shapes your realities. So here's a question. Are you telling stories of scarcity or of abundance? And I don't mean stories like making up things. What I'm asking you is, are you talking to people about how broke you are? Or are you talking to people about your goals and your dreams and your visions and your gratitude and for what you have around you? I hope that you've realized that spiritual methods, prayer, ritual, herbs, all kinds of herbs, things that you would carry with you. You know, I have little satchels of cinnamon that create abundance, and I'll put them inside my wallet. All things, everything spiritual, everything from a pendulum to a deck of cards to a prayer to mala beads, all of those things, tools, as we'll call them, can create abundance easily in your life. But it will be your spiritual beliefs. It will be what you feel inside your heart that will make the difference. That's going to be the game changer. I hope you enjoyed this lesson, and I look forward to connect with you soon.